you can turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. That was the passage that Robbie read for us. It is a powerful word from the Lord Jesus concerning all that he has taught us so far in this Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at, where we are to consider ourselves with sober judgment. We've got to think about ourselves carefully. So just to kind of go back real quick, you know, when Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you know, you may not have committed murder, but if you are angry with your brother, that's sin. Or you may not have committed adultery, but if you lust in your heart, that is sin. And we sometimes, you know, we forget that truth, because sin is something that originates in the heart. It's something that corrupts our very nature itself, out of which flow our actions. But sometimes we are so good at whitewashing ourselves in that sense. We look so good on the outside and we fool people, but God isn't fooled. And what happens is that in regard to people, we become very self-righteous. You've heard that word? Self-righteous, where we consider ourselves better than other people and we look down on other people. And a self-righteous attitude, I tell you, is deadly to you and to the people around you. You see, a self-righteous person, listen to this carefully, is easy on themselves and hard on others. A self-righteous person is easy on themselves and hard on others. A self-righteous person continually justifies themselves before others. Now, think about yourself in regard to all of these points. A self-righteous person sees themselves as better than others. And we're talking about it particularly in a moral, ethical kind of way. A self-righteous person will constantly point out the faults and the failures of other people. That's what self-righteous people do. And I don't know if you think through it, where you find yourself on this. Someone who's self-righteous, constantly condemning other people around you and elevating yourself above them. Or maybe you're on the other side of it, where you feel like you're the recipient of a lot of judgment from other people all the time. Well, hopefully this message this morning is going to help you navigate through this and to think through this matter. And Jesus, in this passage in Matthew 7, warns us against being quick to judge other people, lest we do so missing the issues in our own life. And we've got to be so conscious of that. Now, before we look into this passage, I want to take you to a parable that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 onward, right? If you want to flip over there, you can do that. But I want to take you through that parable. It's an amazing one, and it fits really well with Matthew 7. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, in the parable, Peter has asked the Lord Jesus a question about forgiveness. And in response to that question, Jesus tells his disciples a parable. Here it is. A king wished to settle accounts with his servants. And so when he began to settle these accounts, one of his servants was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Now, just to give you an idea of how much that was, one talent was worth 20 years of a laborer's wage. Think about that. One talent was worth 20 years of a laborer's wage. Now just imagine 10,000 talents. It was worth many lifetimes of wages that this servant owed. In today's currency, and I quickly looked it up, you know, courtesy Google, I looked it up and in today's currency, it would be around $4.5 billion that this servant owed his master. Now, we don't know how the servant came into that kind of debt, but there was no way he was going to be able to pay that debt back to his master. And since he could not pay the money back, the master ordered the servant to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had. He said, sell them off and we'll recover some of the debt and all that, everything that he has, sell it off, we'll recover some of the debt from that. Now, when the servant heard this, he fell on his knees before this king, before this master, and he says, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. And out of pity for the servant, the master released him. And listen to this carefully. And forgave him his debt. 10,000 talents. The master forgave him his debt. Imagine that. Now, when the servant, and you think, you know, the servant would be tremendously grateful. You would be if someone forgave you that much debt, isn't it? And when the servant went out of the presence of his master, he found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. He found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii is equal to 1 day's wage. 1 day's wage. Okay, this is important. And this servant caught hold of his fellow servant and he demanded that he repay the debt. You owe me this 1 denarii or whatever, 100 denarii or whatever it is. He says, you got to pay it back to me. And this fellow servant fell on his knees and he said, have patience with me and I will pay you. But the servant refused and threw his fellow servant in prison until the debt was to be paid. Now the other servants saw this and they were greatly distressed. And so they went to the master and they reported what had happened to the master. Then the master called the servant and he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? He then ordered the jailers to throw the servant into jail until all his debt was paid. Now that's a powerful parable, isn't it? It's an amazing, amazing story that Jesus used to illustrate the point that he's making about forgiveness of people. It's a parable about God's grace and how happy we are to receive it for ourselves, but so reluctant to be gracious toward other people. We're so happy to receive God's grace for ourselves, but so reluctant to give it to other people. I want you to observe a few things from this parable. First of all, this servant was deeply self-centered. He was happy to receive grace for himself, but unwilling to give it to others. Notice also that he was self-righteous. He failed to see his own wrongdoing and how much he was forgiven. He was forgiven 10,000 talents. He was unwilling to see the weight of what he was forgiven. And he was holding another person for something much, much lesser, much, much smaller. He was holding him to account. And I want you to notice that the servant was so small-minded. His unforgiveness was of a significantly smaller debt than what he owed his master in the first place. And I think that's a powerful illustration for what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7 of what it means to judge other people. You know, when we judge other people, we are acting toward them without grace. We're acting toward them in self-righteousness. We're acting toward them without self-application of these truths. We disconnect ourselves from what we have received and we are harsh with other people. And Jesus warns us against that kind of judgment. He warns us against that kind of judgment. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points, but before we get to those points to talk about judgment, we want to make an important observation or an important point really about judging. You know, we often say, you know, shouldn't judge other people. We shouldn't judge anybody else. But does the Bible actually say that? Well, the Bible does say both things in a way. In one sense, it says, do not judge, which is the passage we're going to look at this morning. But on the other hand, we are also to judge, or to maybe use another word that might be a little bit softer. We are to discern sin, right? In other people, in our own life, we are to discern sin. And so the Bible actually talks about this discernment or this judging. In Matthew 7 itself, the passage we're going to look at, Jesus says, first get the log out. So you come down to verse 5. He says, first get the log out of your own eye. Then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. Meaning that there is a biblical warrant to help a brother or a sister get rid of the speck that is in their eye. That means to get rid of the sin that may be present in their lives. And so we see it in this passage itself. Now, the Bible is not at all saying that we should agree. The Bible doesn't say that we should agree with or condone every behavior or attitude of others when they are clearly sinful. And we kind of think that because we say we shouldn't judge other people. But the Bible doesn't say it that way. There are times you have to call a spade a spade. Just imagine if I never corrected my children as they were growing up with regard to some of their behavior, the way they spoke to people or the way they treated each other, and I never said anything about it. They would grow up thinking that that was fine. And they would do it in their adult life. And if they did it too in an extreme sense, they'd probably find themselves in jail. You have to call a spade a spade. You have to point out what is wrong. And so in John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. We are to judge with right judgment. There is a thing called right judgment. In Matthew 7, verses 15 to 16, which is right after the passage we're looking at, he says this. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You have to discern, right? You have to be able to tell when something is wrong. And that's judgment. That is discernment. You have to be able to tell. Now, there's another important reason why we ought to be discerning. And that has to do with our relationships in the body of Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Very important words. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Ooh. Isn't that judging? Well, listen to what Jesus says. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And that sounds pretty tough from Jesus, doesn't it? But that's what he says. When it comes to discerning or judging sin, its presence in the life of a brother or a sister in Christ, you and I are called to do that. We are given license even to do that, to be able to help a brother or sister recognize their fault or their sin. We interpret Jesus' words incorrectly about not judging others when we fail to help a brother or sister see the sin in their lives. When we keep quiet or we ignore that aspect of their life, then we're not being obedient to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. We do more harm to them by ignoring their sin because they might interpret it as being acceptable. They might think it's fine. And so there's biblical warrant for you to lovingly, and we'll talk about how to do that properly, to lovingly approach your brother or sister in Christ in order to help them see their sin. Now, this applies to our relationships with unbelievers as well. When you say, listen to this carefully, it's so important. When you say nothing to them about sin in general or even in their lives, you are condoning or agreeing with a lifestyle that is sending them to hell. That's what you're doing. You are agreeing with a lifestyle that is sending them to hell. You got to feel that. What kind of a friend would you be if you did not warn your friends about a fire or about a tsunami that was coming their way and you just kind of stood by and said nothing? What kind of a friend would you be? And so you and I have to lovingly talk to people about sin because sin separates us from God. It leaves us in a place and in a position where we're under the judgment or the wrath of God. And the most loving thing that we can do is to tell people how to get out of that, by trusting in Jesus, by repenting of their sin, by turning away from it and coming unto God. It's the most loving thing that we can do to people. I want you to think about the time when the Lord Jesus, and you might probably say, wait a minute, people are going to hate me. People are going to dislike me. They're going to despise me if I ever do this, whether believers or unbelievers, if I talk to them about something that's maybe wrong in their life, people are not going to like me. Well, think about the time that the Lord Jesus interacted with the Samaritan woman in John 4. I love that story. One of my favorite in the scriptures. The woman had a different belief system. She had a different religious system, if you like. She was of a different ethnicity, a Samaritan, a half-Jew. They were looked down upon. She was in Samaria, a different place, and Jews typically tried to avoid going through Samaria. What was more stunning is that Jesus pointed out to this woman that she had 5 failed marriages. And the man she was now living with was not even a husband. She was in a live-in relationship. Just think about that. I mean, it's in our day and age, we'd frown upon something like that. Imagine that in Jesus' time. And Jesus speaks to her about it. She doesn't raise it, but Jesus raises it with her. And yet, as you read through John 4 in this account, not once do you get the sense that this woman feels unloved by Jesus. Not once. In fact, she runs back to her village, tells a whole village. She says, you know what? I think I found the Messiah. They all come out and they meet Jesus. And it says that many people put their faith in Christ. Amazing story. Because Jesus can talk about sin, but he can do it in a gracious way, in a way that doesn't reek of self-righteousness at all. That's how Jesus can talk about sin. And you and I need to learn to be able to do that with other people. He was able to speak of it lovingly, graciously, generously even into the life of a person. You see, the problem with Christians, and we always get accused of this, is that we are so unloving, so proud, so self-righteous, so judgmental. That's what people say about us. Oh, you Christians, you're always judging other people. And I want to say to you this morning that we've got to learn from what Jesus did in John 4, but also what he's teaching us in Matthew 7 about how we can judge in a proper, godly manner. How we can judge a person in a godly manner. But let me just say this as a word of caution again. And I think this is Jesus' point when he says in verse 1, he says, judge not. I think what he's saying over here is saying, be extremely, extremely slow to judge another person. Their choices, their words, their lifestyle, be extremely slow to judge another person. In fact, for the most part, avoid it if you can, without first checking your own heart attitude. I think that's really the point that he's making. And so let me give you 3 points about how our judgment is godly. Our judgment is godly when we judge others with grace, when we judge others with humility, and when we judge others with self-application, right? Our judgment is godly when we judge others with grace, when we judge others with humility, and when we judge others with self-application. Let me just quickly go through those points for us this morning. Look at verse 2 of Matthew 7. Here's what Jesus says. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Now we need to first ask over here, how has God judged us? How has God judged us? And the answer to that question is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has judged us with grace. That's how he's judged us, with grace. He's not judged us against the law because we simply do not keep the law. We cannot keep the law. We come short of God's holy standard. And if God should bring the entire weight of his law against us, we would all come short of it if God should do that. But he doesn't do that. He uses grace in his relationships, in his relationship with us. He is gracious toward you. Yes, the law will make you aware of sin, but we are not condemned because God's grace is acting upon us. And that's the measure that God now judges us with in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we judge other people in an ungodly way, we throw grace out of the door, don't we? And we only apply the law. That's what we do. We only apply the law. And if they fail, then they receive all kinds of punishment and wrath from us. And what Jesus is saying in verse 2 is that if we choose to apply the law like this to all our relationships, then don't be surprised if God brings the entire weight of his law upon us and we are judged by the law as well and not by grace. Think about it in the context of the story of the unforgiving servant. He judged his fellow servants without grace, that the grace that he himself had received. And so the master finally judges him with his own judgment method. That's what he does. This is so important for us, you know, in the context. Think about your relationships. Think about your spouse, husbands, wives. How do you treat each other? Are you harsh and judgmental towards each other, where you're constantly measuring up the person against the law in that sense? Or are you gracious toward them, recognizing faults and failures, but gracious toward them? What about with your children as parents? Are we always, you know, going up against them with the law? You didn't do this, you didn't do that. I told you to do this, I told you to do that. And we're just constantly reminding them of how they have come short, of how they have failed. Just imagine if God was to do that with us in the same measure. Remember that, right? If God was to do it in the same measure with us, my goodness, it would completely crush us. And yet we do this with other people. We crush them by constantly acting toward them without grace, without grace, which we ourselves have so lavishly received from God. If you're going to judge other people, judge with grace. Judge with grace. That's how you and I have got to approach it. Judge with grace. But if you don't, then don't expect grace from God either. That's what Jesus says. In the measure that you judge, so it will be with you. The second way, or our judgment is godly when we judge others with humility. When we judge others with humility. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Matthew 7. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye?" Amazing words from Jesus. You see, pride or self-righteousness is what keeps us from seeing our own sin. Pride or self-righteousness keeps us from seeing our own sin. We're so conceited about our ways that it blinds us to the very sins we see in other people. Humility, on the other hand, calls for self-examination, so that before we rush to point out the sins in another person's life, we ought to notice our own life and our own sin and our own failures and our own shortcomings. We've got to notice it in our own life. And so Jesus uses a funny picture over here, and he uses exaggeration or hyperbole to make a point. And what he says over here, he says, "You see the speck in your brother's eye, but you fail to notice the log that is in your own eye." What a great picture, isn't it? There's a speck in your brother's eye, but there's a massive log in your own eye. Just think about it in the context of the story of the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 18. The servant's debt was massive, 10,000 talents. That was his debt. But he could only see the one denarius. Sorry, that was one denarius that his fellow servant owed him. That's all he could see. The one denarius that his fellow servant owed him. That's all he could see. He could see the speck in his fellow servant's eye. He couldn't see the 10,000 talent log in his own eye. The scale is completely different. One owed a debt worth many lifetimes of work, and another owed a debt of a single day's wage. But to the proud man, listen to this carefully, but to the proud man, the smaller debt seems larger. The smaller debt seems larger. Or a proud person simply does not see the scale of their sin. You know, if and when we discern sin in another person's life, before we speak to them about it, should the Lord lead us to do so, it is vital that we examine ourselves and see the sin in our own lives and recognize how gracious God has been toward us. You got to judge others with humility, seeing that we are sinners ourselves in need of grace. Not just that the other person is all wrong and messed up, you and I also are. And so we got to judge others. If we do, when God calls us to do it, we got to do it with humility. And finally, we judge in a godly way when we judge others with self-application. So we judge others in a godly way when we judge with grace, with humility, and here thirdly, with self-application. You see, it isn't only about self-examination, like we talked in the previous point. You know, oh, I'm aware of my sin. But if you're not applying God's law, His word, to your own heart attitude, your words, your actions, then you are in no position to judge another person. You're in no position to judge another person. If you are harsh to your children, you're in no position to say anything to anyone else about how they treat their children. If you're unloving to your husband or your wife, you're in no position to say anything to anyone else about how they treat their husband or wife. If you're unforgiving to your brother or sister in Christ, you are in no position to speak to another person about forgiveness. That's the point that Jesus is making over here. And so look at verse 5. It says, "You hypocrite," what a strong word. "First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." First deal with your own sin. Only then can you see clearly, because then you will understand grace, then you will be humble, then you can deal with the other person lovingly. So you've got to deal with your own sin. So you might ask a question, how do I deal with sin? How should I deal with my sin? Well, the Bible beautifully tells us we are to recognize it, first of all. We are to acknowledge sin to God. We are to repent of our sin, meaning that we recognize that it is wrong and we turn the other day. We go 180 degrees. We turn away from sin completely. And then we are to seek God's forgiveness. We are to seek God's forgiveness. And depending on the sin, we might also need to seek another person's forgiveness. If we know the person we've hurt, we might need to seek their forgiveness as well. And once you do that sincerely, God promises to forgive you. He is gracious toward you. God is not going to hold you. He doesn't tell you to do these 10 good things to remove the bad that you've done in your life. He doesn't ask you to make pilgrimages, to go to temples, to do this or that. You can't do anything to remove the sin in your life except to come to the Lord Jesus in faith and in repentance. And when you do, God is incredibly gracious. He wipes out the 10,000 talent of sin in your life. He wipes it out completely. And I love the point of that parable, because that debt is so massive that he can never repay it. In the same way, our sin is so massive that we can never repay God. We are completely and totally dependent on God's grace. And when we do that, God is incredibly gracious to us. And usually, listen to this, usually by the time you deal with sin in your own life, it will help you Be humble and gracious toward another person. People who don't regularly recognize and repent of sin in their lives are those who would be extremely hard on other people. Let me say that again. People who don't regularly recognize and repent of sin in their own lives are those who will be extremely hard on other people. And this is an important note over here. You know, there are some people who never talk about sin. They never talk about their own sin. They never talk about the sins of other people. And so they appear very gracious. They appear very gracious. But they actually do not talk about sin because they don't want to deal with the sin in their own lives. And so they avoid it altogether. And I tell you, that isn't helpful either, because you are excusing sin in your own life, and that's something you're going to have to answer God for. But you're also condoning or agreeing with the sin in another person's life, and you're leading them down a path that is extremely dangerous for them. Because sin has terrible consequences for our relationships, for life here, but it has eternal consequences as well. And when we condone it in our own life or in the lives of other people, we are walking down a dangerous path. But notice over here in this passage that we may be called upon by God to help remove the speck out of our brother or our sister's eye. That means help them deal with their sin. But we must do it in a godly way, with grace, with humility, and with self-application. Now, one final word, and we'll close with this. In verse 6, Matthew 7, verse 6, let me read that for you. Here's what Jesus says. He says, Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, I really had to scratch my head for this, because it's interesting that Jesus puts this in over here, and it seems too random that Jesus would simply throw it in over here after speaking about judgment, or even for Matthew to record it right after what Jesus has said about judging others. It isn't random. There had to be a connection. So here's the connection. People who judge others without valuing grace that they themselves have received are likened to beasts, like a dog or a pig, who have no value for what is precious. They trample on it, and then they turn and attack you. That's the point that he's making. God's grace toward us in Christ Jesus is the most precious thing in the world. The most precious thing in the world. But when we don't value it, when we don't value it, we're like this dog or this pig that doesn't know the value of something. We trample on it and we turn back and we bite the master, we bite other people as well. That's the point that Jesus is making. You got to treasure the grace that God has given to you. And so, in conclusion, do not be quick to judge other people. In fact, be very, very slow, and if possible, even avoid it if you can and if you must. But there are times that you need to speak about it. There are times you need to deal with it. When you do that, do it in a godly way, with grace, with humility, and with self-application. With grace, that is applying God's grace to the other person. With humility, meaning that you recognize that you are a sinner in need of grace. And with self-application, make sure that you are following what you are challenging another person to follow. May God bless you as you apply this to all of the relationships in your life. Think about it in the context of your marriage, your parenting, the church, your colleagues, your neighbors. Think about it. And if we can do it the way Jesus teaches us to do it, it will bring such tremendous health and healing to all of our relationships. May God bless you. Let's take a moment to just quieten ourselves. You can bow your heads, and maybe the Lord is speaking to you about a particular relationship in your life that's been very difficult and hard and challenging. And God is speaking to you about how you can deal with it at this time. So take a moment just to quieten yourself and place it before God and say, Lord, help me, Lord. Because I need to resolve this relationship. There's too much of hurt. There's too much of pain over here. And I have been very harsh and judgmental towards this person. I have not shown them grace like I have said, I have received from you. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me to forgive. Help me to be gracious and kind and gentle. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you've taught us through the scriptures this morning. Help us, Lord, to apply it in obedience and in faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.